Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 32 and read throughout the remainder of this chapter in verse 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. We've looked at many great examples of faith in Hebrews 11. They all come from the Old Testament. And now, as the writer begins to wind down talking about these heroes of faith, he tells us that he doesn't have time to talk about all the rest. So he mentions a few more names, and then he summarizes the rest of what he wants to talk about. So let's read this scripture first of all, and then we'll come back and look at these great examples once more. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." In verse 32, he lists a few more examples of faith in the Old Testament. The first name is Gideon. The story of Gideon is in Judges chapter 6 through 8. Gideon is the man that led 300 Israelites to conquer the entire army of the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and told him that he would lead Israel to victory. And when that first happened in Judges chapter 6, Gideon hesitated. He said, "My family is poor, and I'm the youngest one in the family." But he went ahead and led the Israelites to victory. How did he do that? He did it by his faith. The next man is Barak. We read about him in Judges chapters 4 and 5. Now, Barak served with Deborah the judge, and he led the army of Israel to defeat the Canaanites in Judges chapter 4. Again, what's the lesson here? He trusted in God. He did that by his faith in God. The next man is even more well known in the Bible, and that was the strongest man of all, Samson. Samson was a very strong man physically, but he had a weakness for the wrong kind of women. And he made a lot of bad decisions in his life. He made a lot of bad choices, and he paid a heavy price for those choices. But in the end, he held on to, or he came back to, his faith, and he did die as a saved man. All these people that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11 died in a saved condition. And that helps us to put Judges 14, 15, and 16, where we read about the life of Samson, in perspective. Because some people might be tempted to look at that story and think that Samson died in rebellion to God, that he died in a lost condition because there were so many bad choices that he made. But this passage in Hebrews 11 says that Samson, in spite of all of his flaws, died in a saved condition. So evidently there was repentance on his part, and we know that there was faith because that is exactly what this chapter is talking about. The next man is even less likely to be thought of as a hero of faith, I think, in the minds of many Bible readers, because of what we read about him in the Old Testament, and that is basically that he was a military leader. we read about this man by the name of Jephthah. He was a judge in Israel for 6 years. He was a son of a harlot, shunned by his brothers, but he became a great military leader of Israel. And the Bible mentions him in this great hall of faith here in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Then the next man is a well-known Old Testament character, David. And we might expect more to be said about him. He was a man after God's own heart. He made some huge mistakes in his life, but the Bible only mentions him in passing here. Remember, the great faith that David had in God, especially when David was being chased by Saul. He had to have faith in many situations in his life, but especially during that dark time while Saul was chasing him and trying to take his life. The next man is also a very famous man in the Old Testament, Samuel. Samuel was one of the finest men in the Old Testament. Samuel was one of the most godly characters in the Bible. We know that because he's put in the same category as Moses in Jeremiah 15, verse 1. He was a good man. He was a just and fair man. And he was a well-respected prophet and judge. And he accomplished all that because of his faith in God. And then in verse 32, he says that he doesn't have time to talk about all the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all the way to Malachi. And that doesn't even include the many prophets that we read about in the Old Testament who didn't write Old Testament books. Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah was a prophet of God. They didn't leave behind any Old Testament books, but they're included in this group called the prophets. Now, what did their faith enable them to do? This is what is really encouraging here in Hebrews 11. Remember, he's writing to some Christians here who are losing their strength. They're losing their confidence. And they're being tempted to turn away from Christ and go back to the old Jewish religion. And so to encourage them, he points them to their Old Testament scriptures. He tells them to go back in their minds to these Old Testament characters. And as he encourages them, as we read these words, we ought to be encouraged as well. Because when we compare the hardships that we go through in life to the sufferings of these people, it causes us to appreciate our condition in life. It causes us to say, if they could endure all of the afflictions that he mentions here, we can surely make it through the burdens that we have to bear in life. So with that in mind, let's begin looking at what he says in verses 33 and following. In verses 33 and 34, most of what he says pertains to war. He's talking about the battles that they fought by faith in books like Joshua and Judges and 1 and 2 Kings. And so he says that they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises. In verse 34, he says that they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. He's talking about all those battles. Now, there's one thing in verse 33 that does stand out as being something different. And that is, he says that they stopped the mouths of lions. Now, that has to refer back to that famous Old Testament story of Daniel, when Daniel was cast into the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. How did Daniel face such a punishment? How did he endure that? Well, the Bible says that he did it by his faith. Then the Bible begins in verse 35 talking about some of the other accomplishments and some of the other sufferings that these people endured. In verse 35, he says that women received their dead raised to life again. He's talking about people like the widow of Zarephath, who had a son that died, but Elijah the prophet raised him from the dead in 1 Kings 18. He's talking about the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, who had a young son that died, and Elijah the prophet raised him from the dead. But notice also in verse 35 what happened to many of these people. In verse 35, he says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. What happened was that these Old Testament heroes of faith, these Old Testament saints, were persecuted by their enemies. They were tortured, And the Bible says that they would not accept deliverance. Now that means that there was a way for them to avoid that torture. There was a way for them to get out of it. And that would have been, of course, for them to renounce God. If they had just denied God, then their torturers would have let them go. But they refused. They refused to compromise. They refused to give up even when they were tortured. The Bible says that they did that by faith. How? Because it says that they might obtain a better resurrection. There was something that they were looking forward to. They knew that there was something better than being delivered from this physical pain. They would not pay the price of denying God just to be spared this physical torment. So they endured the torment, some of them to the point of death, and they did that because they knew that someday they would live forever. The Bible tells us in verse 36 that others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. So these Old Testament saints were mocked. They were scourged, which means they were beaten with these special whips. And then the Bible says that they suffered bonds and imprisonment. Many of these people were arrested. Many of them were put in prisons. Jeremiah was put in a dungeon where the Bible says that he sunk down into the mire in the bottom of that dungeon. In verse 37, it gets even worse. The Bible says that they were stoned, some of them were. And he says they were sawn asunder. That means that they were literally sawn in half or sawn in two. They were tempted and they were slain with the sword. Now, these Christians that he's writing to had suffered affliction. They had been through some hard times in their Christian life. And they're being persecuted as he writes this to them. But what he's showing them and what he's showing us is that their persecutions were nowhere near as severe as what these Old Testament people went through. And so as we read this, we might be thinking about the hardships that we have in life, but compare whatever it is that you're going through, whatever kind of heavy burden that you're bearing, whatever kind of heartache or pain that you're facing, compare what you're experiencing to what we read in these verses. And that will cause your pain and your worry and your heartache to fade into the background. The Bible says that these people wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They didn't have nice clothes. They didn't have the money to buy nice clothes. They were destitute, the Bible says, and wore sheepskins and goatskins. And not only that, he says in verse 38, they didn't have good homes either, because they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So today, if you have plenty of clothes and you have a good roof over your head and you have plenty to eat, you've got more than many of these people had in the Old Testament that he's talking about. And notice in verse 38 that he says the world did not deserve these people. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world did not deserve these great men and women of faith in the Old Testament. Of course, the world looked at them in a completely different way. As Paul said of the apostles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, they were considered the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things. That's how the world looked at these Old Testament heroes of faith. But the Bible says in verse 39 that they obtained a good report through faith, even though the world looked at them as the refuse of mankind. In God's eyes, they had a good report, and they did that through their faith. The Bible says that they did not receive the promise. That simply means that they received the land, they received the law, but they did not receive the ultimate fulfillment in Christ and the New Testament. And again, in verse 40, God provided some better thing for us, that is us Christians, that they, these Old Testament saints, without us, should not be made perfect. That means without us, they would have been incomplete because they were part of a law that merely pointed the way to the New Testament.